You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 451.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Oh boy, we're on Flop Show 451. Hey, Kevin.
It's the end of the year. This is the final Flopcast of the longest year in history. So this is sort of our long, miserable year in review show. So we'll get to some end of the year wrap-up talk very soon. Cornflake, what you owe us, though, one last time, what is your final National Whatever Day?
On December 29th, Dexter Holland turns 55. Now, do you recognize the name Dexter Holland?
Nope.
I thought that name would be a little unfamiliar, but I'm willing to bet you recognize the band that he fronts, and that would be The Offspring.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I remember those guys. Like a goofy 90s alt rock.
Yeah. And here's what I appreciated about it.
Okay, this is the part that you'll have to explain to me, because I don't remember them very well, but I don't recall liking them.
So their music, it blended in with what I was listening to at the time. You know, that Gotta Keep Them Separated song would get stuck in my head.
I definitely did not enjoy The Offspring. Now that you... I couldn't remember exactly what they did, but yeah, that was not good.
Okay, well... This may bring some level of appreciation to what you were hearing, because before his music career took off, Dexter Holland was on his way to becoming a PhD molecular biologist. And where he came up with that hook, Gotta Keep Them Separated, was when he was working with Erlenmeyer flasks in a lab doing an experiment. That's where the inspiration for that line comes from.
Should have stayed in the lab.
Snap. So, yeah, he did pause getting his degree to have his music career, but he did go back. And in 2017, he got his PhD. So I thought probably The Offspring was more my deal than yours. But
correct.
I do know about you, Kevin, that you like hot sauce.
Sure.
What you may not know about Dexter Holland is that he also runs a hot sauce company. He owns the hot sauce brand Gringo Bandito.
He's a busy guy.
Yep. I'll have to remember that. I can never figure out what to get you. Maybe I'll get you some Gringo Bandito for you to have.
I don't want The Offspring guy's hot sauce.
No. Okay. I didn't expect you to get that fired up about it.
It's gotten deeply personal between me and this guy. What's his name from The Offspring?
Dexter Holland.
Such that... I don't even want the hot sauce.
Man.
Wow, why am I so fired up over nothing tonight?
I don't know. I have a lot of happy memories of moshing to Gotta Keep Them Separated. I didn't know it was going to make you so angry, but...
Very, very angry now.
I guess to each their own. I'll try to find a more suitable subject for the next National Whatever Day to kick off the year with.
Yeah, but this is... It's my fault.
It's your fault.
I'm the one ruining the final National Whatever Day of 2020.
I guess somebody had to do it.
Yeah. In a year like this, I thought even National Whatever Day could not end well for 2020. And so I did what I had to do.
And there you have it.
Yeah. You know, what a year we've had. Speaking of National Whatever Day, though, one thing I did notice, the very first National Whatever Day of 2020 was... the 35th birthday of James Acaster.
Oh, yeah.
And we kind of wrapped up the year with this dude as well, because you took me to a online James Acaster stand-up comedy performance just a couple of days ago.
My very favorite comedian, James Acaster.
Probably not for everybody, but, you know, if you want to give him a shot, just a young, crazy, screaming British guy.
That's accurate.
If that's your thing. And yeah, what a lovely time we had.
I thought that was really cool that I got to share that with you. So thank you for coming with me to the show.
Look at how James Acaster somehow bookended the year for the Flopcast, though.
Fancy. It's almost like I meant to do that.
You planned out this whole year perfectly. Nice job. Are you taking credit single-handedly for 2020? This is all on you. Yeah, I was looking back at the beginning of the year, first like 2.5 months of the year. I mean, usually we spend the whole year talking about concerts and talking about conventions. And then like, what were the two biggest things we could not do anymore? So we got in our beginning of the year conventions with, I did Aresia. You were at Aresia too. Yep. This year. And the mayor of Chickentown went out to Gallifrey 1 in February, her big Doctor Who convention. And then you got in right at the last minute. You got MarsCon taken care of.
Yeah, I sure am glad I did everything and anything at MarsCon, including being one of the main stage performers this year.
Yeah, and then meanwhile, I took off for Las Vegas. So you did Minnesota, I did Vegas. We met up back here, and then that was the end of everything.
Yep.
But the show went on. The Flopcast. We've been doing these shows by Zoom ever since.
Yeah, all these months later, I still miss sitting on the couch with you and having a cup of coffee, but we've made it work.
We have not yet perfected the virtual coffee.
No.
I still have my coffee stockpile here in Chickentown proper, and you just cannot get at it anymore. It's all mine.
And that's just something I have to come to terms with every week.
Just deal with it. So I was looking at what did we do this year as far as Flopcast segments. And of course, you know, National Whatever Day, we do practically every week. Chickens in the News, you know, Chickens in the News, we only did 4 times all year.
Well, we are definitely chickens in the news deficient for 2020.
But one of them was kind of a weird technicality because you gave us these little glass chickens.
Oh, yeah.
Which you had wrapped in newspapers and you claimed that that makes them chickens in the news.
That's,
you
know, right.
We did an update on the giant chicken topiary.
With Topiary Joe.
Topiary Joe was assigned build the world's biggest chicken topiary in a little town in the middle of Georgia. Hopefully someday they'll get that thing finished. We did a story about the Wonder Chicken fossil.
That's right.
They found some ancient fossil of some primitive bird and dubbed it the Wonder Chicken.
We do like a good Wonder Chicken.
Then the best chicken story of the year, though, there was that amazing story of Reba the chicken who escaped from her home by sneaking into the trunk of an Instacart delivery car.
I loved that story.
Yeah, there was a delivery guy who was dropping off groceries and left the trunk of his car open. While he was up at the house, a chicken hopped into the trunk of the car. The guy didn't see the chicken, closed the trunk, drove away. The perfect escape. Those were our 4 chicken stories for the year. Now, the pudding pages, even worse, we only did the pudding pages 3 times in 2020.
Why does it feel like we did the pudding pages way more than that?
Isn't that weird? We did it.
It's bizarre.
First time was back in April, and it was the 70s, 80s version of pudding pages, and we talked about Dynamite Magazine. Not that we need much of an excuse to talk about Dynamite Magazine around here, but
you get that right.
That week, it actually came up as a Pudding Pages subject at random. Just last month, we did another 70s and 80s edition of Pudding Pages about the Power Records book and record sets.
I enjoyed that.
And then, of course, just a couple of weeks ago, we did the Figgy Pudding Pages about the Skip It.
I kind of miss having a Skip It now.
That was the pudding pages for 2020. Let's see what else we have. What's in the bag? Also, strangely, or maybe not strangely, I guess it's understandable given that no one's getting together very much, so there's less opportunity for bags to be exchanged.
Exactly.
Because we only did What's in the Bag 3 times this year. And that was, well, we're kind of double dipping here because one of them was the aforementioned glass chicken figurines wrapped in newspapers. Those were also in a bag. We had the other 2 bags, both came in the mail. And that was, first we had the Teen Beat Calendar magazine from 1981, which we examined in detail. And then just last week, we had Arturo mailed us that Chicken in Love book.
Right.
That was What's in the Bag for the year.
So quality over quantity is what you're saying.
There were only three bags. Each of them contained something wonderful. Yes. Now, here's a throwback cornflake. Remember Capes or Apes?
Yes.
We kind of forgot all about it, or at least I did. So Capes or Apes was a segment that we attempted to launch in 2019. I guess we started Capes or Apes. And
yes.
In 2020, we only did it once, right at the beginning of the year. First show of 2020, we did Capes or Apes. We did one of each, actually. It was Capes and Apes that day. We talked about, for Apes, we did the 1981 Tony Danza movie, Going Ape.
Right.
Which soon became your favorite movie.
Yes.
And then for Capes, for a comic book story, because it was the year, the new year, 2020, we looked at the Superman 2020 stories from in the early 80s. They did these comic book stories about Superman in the future, 40 years in the future. That was Capes or Apes. And yeah, then we just forgot all about it. There were no complaints. We have not heard from anybody saying, why aren't you still doing Capes or Apes? So I don't think anybody cares.
I don't think it got a real chance to catch on. I think people would miss it more if they knew what they were missing.
I still feel like there's an element missing. We haven't perfected Capes or Apes as a segment yet. It's still a work in progress, like 2 years later.
We'll find the missing ingredient. I'm not giving up.
We're going to give Capes or Apes another chance in 2021. Let's see what happens.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that.
The top 4.5 list we did 5 times in 2020.
Those are a labor of love.
Yeah, we've cut back. Back in the old days, like, we used to do a top 4.5 list. Like, it was almost every other show.
Yeah, every few shows we'd do one.
It's all we knew how to do at first, was just make a list. This year we did 5 top 4.5 lists, and we didn't even get started until August.
Whoa.
First 4.5 list was August, and that was your list of Billy Joel songs.
That's right.
The following week, we did Robots.
Because we can't not.
Yes, every year we do our summer robot list. And later we did Hostess comic book ads. We did, just last month, we did top 4.5 list of 4.
Yes.
That was the closest we came to just classic top 4.5 list, where it was just completely stupid.
Weird, yes.
So that was good. And then, of course, just a couple of weeks ago, we had Brittany and Martha here, and they took over the top 4.5 list and did their top 4.5 Christmas cartoon characters, which, of course, ended very controversially in a tie. So we'll have to keep on top of that in 2021, you know?
More lists.
We don't want to wait until August to do our next list.
I'm with you there. I enjoy that segment a lot.
A new segment that we launched at the end of 2019, we did 2 more times in 2020, or 4, depending on how you count it, because each one is a 2-part episode, but that's the Flop Fight.
Oh, yeah.
We did 2 Flop Fights in 2020. First was USA for Africa.
The tournaments, the silly tournaments that we do.
It's a tournament, yeah. We threw all the names of all the USA for Africa participants into a couple of coffee mugs. We drew the names at random, and then we pitted them against each other in a tournament to determine the ultimate winner of a We Are the World USA for Africa flop fight. We did that back way back in February. Then we did it once more in the summer. We did the Lilith Fair.
Oh, yeah, and with a special guest entrant, as I recall.
Things got a little weird in the Lilith Fair tournament, but we would expect nothing less. I did a similar tournament in panel format, though, with the Classics track just a couple of months ago when we did Serial Killers versus Serial Mascots. So we got in a little more tournament action later in the year, but we are definitely going to do more flop fighting here on the Flopcast.
Very good.
I assure you.
We need it.
Now, a completely new segment for this year, of course, was Trapped in the House.
I have enjoyed this segment a lot, but I will understand someday when we don't do this segment anymore.
This was a new Flopcast segment born out of the pandemic era, Trapped in the House. You're given an option. You're going to be trapped in your house for the pandemic with this or this. For example, with Hall or Oates. Or you're going to be trapped with the Smurfs or the Snorks. On and on it goes. With Blair or Tootie. We had a lot of complicated choices like that to make. And yeah, we did that 5 times, I believe.
That became my favorite segment of the year, with our most recent one being my absolute favorite thing we've done all year on the Flopcast.
We did a holiday edition of Trapped in the House. That was your favorite thing we did all year?
Absolute favorite, yes.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, I hate to say it, but we're probably going to do some more. It's Trapped in the House. First half of the year, at least, and we'll see how it goes.
It's a good game.
That is our segment wrap-up. I looked at Flopcast guests for the year also, and I suppose, I don't know if this was helped or hurt by the pandemic as far as having guests on the show, because we would occasionally have guests either join us actually in Chickentown Studios, like Ed, you know, Ed from Sponge Awareness joined us last year to talk about trains, and he actually came in and joined us in the studio.
Good times.
Can't do that anymore, of course. You can't even show up in the studio anymore.
Nope.
But on the other hand, doing it by Zoom, that opens you up to the whole world, right?
True that.
We could bring anybody on the show. Problem is, we never do. So I still want to start bringing in more guests, and we do have people in mind that we want to bring in as Zoom guests. So that's something that we should actually try to do more often. For DragonCon, we had guests on the show several weeks in a row. We had Jessica from Anaria was here, of course, and Kate from the Strange Animals podcast. We had Christine and Daryl talking DragonCon with us. That's, you know, Crusher and Picard in their costume form at DragonCon. And then, of course, from But First, Let's Talk Nerdy, our most frequent guests this year, we had Brittany and Martha, and they were actually on the show, on the Flopcast, 4 times over the course of the year.
They're pretty popular around these parts.
They came around about once a quarter. Another highlight of the year, I would say, is welcoming our friends Brittany and Martha into the world of podcasting, because they started their show this year, But First, Let's Talk Nerdy.
And became part of ESO.
Yeah, we were able to bring them on to the ESO network. And of course, I work with them every week still, editing, producing on their show. So, man, that kept me busy through the pandemic, I assure you. I suddenly doubled my podcast editing responsibilities.
All editing, all the time.
All I do is edit podcasts. But, you know, what else do we have to do?
Right.
So, you know, that was the year. For the end of the year, though, Cornflake, we have one more very important piece of business to take care of.
Oh, yes. I thought you might forget.
Yeah, nope, you're not getting off the hook. Now, of course, we're talking, we do this every year. It's our New Year's resolutions. It's time to announce our New Year's resolutions. Now, yours, Cornflake, I don't even quite remember what yours was. It involved the Cornflake Book Club, yes. I think. You had a plan for books every month for the year, and everything just went off the rails.
I am hanging my head in shame, Kevin, because
it's fine.
I can't even say that it didn't get done because, like, I couldn't go out into the world anymore because the New Year's resolution that I assigned myself was to read books. So really... Really, I am a slacker. I have.
That's a good point. In a way, it was a perfect resolution for the lockdown.
And I still messed up.
You can say that, but things still just got so crazy and weird that I think it's understandable that plans just kind of fell aside as we're just scrambling to get through this, you know? So yeah. It's fine. I would say we should try to set our sights more realistically this year. So this year we're looking for a resolution like, I am going to leave my house once every 3 months in 2021. You know, something like that, that maybe it's an achievable goal.
So on top of coming out of absolute failure for 2020, I had to think of how to have a New Year's resolution in this crazy new world we live in. And
yeah.
I mean, I have mixed success with these New Year's resolutions to begin with. I think back to years where I tried to learn how to hula hoop, right, attended a con or a festival at least once a month,
yep,
watched movies I've never seen before. I don't think I've ever picked anything particularly hard. And still, I mean, one book a month in a year where we're all pretty much stuck at home anyway during a pandemic, that should have been a breeze for me. So
I gotta say, though, Cornflake, I'm with you because I hardly read any books this year either. Like, I'm not counting comic books and stuff because I still read plenty of comics, but like actual books, you know, made up of words, I probably read, I don't know, 3, 4, maybe over the course of the year. But again, I'm editing podcasts.
Right.
All day, every day. I'm very busy. I'm editing podcasts. No time to read. So what were you doing this year, though, Cornflake?
I just couldn't keep my mind quiet long enough to read. But among other things, I ended up watching more TV than I have in years. Like, definitely more TV this year than any year in my entire adult life.
Right. And nothing but Jefferson's reruns. That's the weird part. All you watched all year was the Jeffersons.
I occasionally snuck in an episode of Benson, but, but I didn't do it when anyone was looking.
Yeah, a little Barney Miller, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, and Facts of Life. Like, I finally watched the first season of Facts of Life, and we're going to do something with that coming up in 2021.
We actually have plans for... For anyone that feels like we have not talked about the Facts of Life enough on the Flopcast over the years.
We won't let you down.
Don't worry. We actually have official plans to talk about the Facts of Life a lot more in 2021. I'm not making that up. So a little more TV, and you were doing puzzles, right?
Yeah, I was doing puzzles, and I was doing coloring and bike riding.
Sure. Oh, I was still, I guess, in between editing podcasts, I was still getting my running in. You know, I still go out and run like a maniac on the days when there isn't a foot of snow on the ground. So I was still, even through the pandemic, I was running more than ever. Ran a marathon this year for the first time.
It's pretty fantastic.
So that's something.
Yes.
Every half mile, I would stop and edit a podcast. So it took a long time. But I ran a marathon.
Yeah, some people would call that showing off, Kevin, but that's just like an average Tuesday for you. But I actually briefly toyed with the idea of picking up one new television series per month in 2021 as my resolution. But then I thought, who makes a New Year's resolution to spend more time on the couch watching TV? Like, what kind of New Year's resolution is that? And isn't that something I'm going to do anyway? So
every morning, I'm going to rip open a bag of Doritos, march over to that couch, and I shall not move for 13 and a half hours. I'm a hero.
Sure, this resolution would force a little more variety into my life, but still, I can't justify this as a New Year's resolution, even for me.
All right, so we're all dying to hear this, Corn Flick. What are you doing?
Okay, well, I thought about the options, and I thought about the state of the world, and I certainly didn't want to pick anything that would be unsafe in any way with the social distancing measures that are likely to still be necessary for at least some time to come.
This year, I'm going to lick more people. Thank you. I know it sounds dangerous.
I'm going to lick them right in the face. And so then I decided I wanted my New Year's resolution to be this. It would be to make new friends, even in this socially distanced world. And to do that, you know how with Dragon Con, you do that thing called the Geek Girls Run?
Yes. We just do a quick run around downtown Atlanta together. And it started, I think, as just a group of women, and then it expanded to everybody's welcome. But it's still known as the Geek Girls Run. Yes, I'm a geek girl.
Well, I found something similar, but not for running. In 2021, I will join the Geek Girls Pen Pals Club, also known as the IGG, PPC, as it's called, as it's an international collective. Like the Geek Girls Run, any gender can become part of the IGL, as they call it. That's their name for somebody who participates. You go to geekgirlpenpals.com, and the idea is to like mix up your love for snail mail and letter writing, geekery, with having a pen pal.
So this is actual paper, envelopes, stamps, real mail?
Real mail. And I looked on the FAQ on the website, and you can do email only with whoever they pair you up with. So this club is volunteer run. You get a pen pal by going to the website. You register, you put in your top five geek loves, and they match you with your pen pal. And you can request email only, but it tends to like put people off. So the idea is to have it be handwritten. So my New Year's resolution is to go through this, to make at least one pen pal, and to sustain the relationship for at least 1 year.
What if you get the guy from The Offspring?
I'm going to write to him about his hot sauce. Yes. But you see, hot sauce is not an interest of mine, so I probably wouldn't be paired up with him.
Yeah, you put down like the Jeffersons.
Right. Hall & Oates.
Hall and Oates.
Yeah, help me out here. What should I put as my geek loves?
I would stick with just those two. Say, look, I have two interests. Here they are. Three if you count Hall and Oates separately.
There you go. So that's my New Year's resolution for this year.
Okay. This could be fun. It could be weird. It could be a huge disaster. I look forward to hearing about it in any event.
Well, probably more of a disaster than sitting down and watching television, but I had to, like, go for the gusto.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, that leaves you. What is your New Year's resolution?
Yeah, I guess I've got to come out with my resolution now as well. Like you, I struggled this year to come up with something. Some years it'll just hit me, you know, I'll just get this flash of, yes, of course, this is what I should do. This year, it took me a while, but I think I got it. Cornflake, my resolution for the new year of 2021, I'm going to be sillier. Thank you.
That will be something to see.
That's going to be good. Cornflake, that is our end of the year wrap-up spectacular and a busy, crazy 2021 coming up. So let's wrap up.
Okay. Check us out at flopcast.net. On Facebook, we are facebook.com/flopcast. Our handle on Twitter is @flopcast. We're on Instagram, the_flopcast. Help our year go out with a bang by leaving us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, or maybe even both. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Sponge Awareness Foundation, by the way, several $100,000 in debt due to our disastrous attempt at selling hot sauce. Cornflake, thanks for joining me on the Flopcast all year long and into the new year. It'll be fun. This will be good. Everybody, please keep on being safe. Be kind. Be festive still.
Yeah.
Still in the holidays, right? We can still be festive. And take care of each other. We are thinking of you. See you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Look, we gotta talk.
Yeah, Thunder Talk.
We're going all kinds of sideways with that sweet nerd junk.
Woke nerd junk.
It's topical.
Political.
Dare I say radical.
We've got all your latest news and reviews.
Hot music.
And a whole lot of comedy.
But it ain't for kids.
Definitely mature content.
So let's talk.
Let's talk Thunder Talk.
Thunder Talk is a proud member of the ESO Network.
Cornflake, this is the secret after show.
It's the last one of the year.
I think this is one of your favorite secret after shows of the year, as
yes.
I recall. Because you know what we do for the last secret after show of the year is we just go through a list of what we did on every other secret after show for the entire year.
And it is a solid reminder of how absolutely random pants this show gets.
Most of this I'm predicting I will have zero memory of. And the other thing is, we gotta move. We have to really try to be quick as we go through this, because if the secret after show is 42 minutes long...
Oh, it's gonna give us away.
Somebody's gonna figure it out. Yeah, so even though we could dwell on each of these for 10 minutes and discuss, we really can't. We just have to move.
No, it's gonna be rapid fire. That's part of the fun of it.
Here we go. So going all the way back to our first show back in January 2020, Cornflake reveals the name of her upcoming album.
Big reveal.
Yeah, it was a huge reveal. Shocking. Next, we had a list of travel tips, including pack a skink. That's still good advice. If you're going to travel,
you gotta
bring a skink, throw a lizard in your bag. Cornflake recommends the Off Menu podcast.
With James Acaster.
Oh, that's James Acaster. Okay. And we have recorded 3 Flopcasts in a row on New Year's Day. That's right. Yeah, we did the first 3 shows of the year. We recorded all at once on New Year's Day.
Yeah, we were going full tilt.
What if we'd kept on that schedule? We would have released thousands of podcasts over the course of the year.
That would have been bananas.
If we could have kept doing 3 a day, that would have been good. Let's see. We have what we didn't get to see at Aresia. That's all it says. Kevin saw 3 of this year's Oscar-nominated movies. Yeah, that's weird. I usually don't see that many Oscar-nominated movies.
True.
Cornflake is doing something at MarsCon involving USA for Africa.
Yes, and I did.
Yes, you did. Okay, these were from our USA for Africa Flopcast episodes, of course, because the next one is all the USA for Africa members whose names were not drawn for our tournament compete in one battle royal eating donuts from strings.
I loved that.
That's good. I don't know who the winner was. Was it Dan Aykroyd?
Yes.
Let's assume it was Dan Aykroyd. Okay, next we have correction. It was George Benson, not Al Jarreau, who sang Turn Your Love Around. I always get that mixed up. We bought a 1985 record by a Boston band called Girls Night Out for $2. Yes, we did. I've got that record right here in the studio. I can see it from where I am. Cornflake deciding on a book for the March Cornflake Book Club. Well, there's that ill-fated
New Year's resolution.
Previously mentioned Cornflake Book Club. Consolation 2020 is an online convention.
Still there.
It's still happening. Cornflake's bike was fixed by a robot.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting. I have zero memory of that.
Still working well.
Andrew and Potato. That's I told the story of my friend Andrew, who has a pet rabbit named Potato. Cornflake Book Club, James Acaster in audio format. Man, James Acaster, all over today's show.
Yes.
Here we have, we still have to create the Eve Plum cocktail. Man, that was from April, and now here we are. We still have to create the Eve Plum cocktail. We haven't done that yet.
We have just enough time left in the year, I think.
Got to make that a priority for 2021. We have to invent the Eve Plum. Upcoming new podcasts are ESO Board Silly and But First Let's Talk Nerdy. Look at that. That was our early announcement of the girls' show, But First Let's Talk Nerdy. People with extra time during the pandemic might discover the secret after show.
I think this has actually happened.
It's actually happening as we speak.
Yes.
Also considered for National Whatever Day, Stevie Wonder's 70th birthday, Kim Fields' 51st birthday. Tina Fey was not allowed to watch The Flintstones.
Fun fact.
All right. Kevin is watching Letterkenny and Solar Opposites. Yes, I was. I gave up on Letterkenny, by the way. I just couldn't take it anymore. Cornflake watching British comedians' fishing show.
Oh, Mortimer and Whitehouse. They're going into season 4. Good stuff.
Sure. Back Issue Magazine and Cornflake's new car is named Yondu. Is it still named Yondu?
It's still named Yondu, and it's like I bought it and then had no reason to drive it, but it's still pretty awesome.
That thing is yet to roll a foot out of your driveway, but it's still named Yondu. Our favorite Weird Al albums from the 90s. We should just run the Flopcast promo on But First Let's Talk Nerdy every week and vice versa. That's right. Since I edit both shows, my plan was we would just keep promoting each other's shows every week instead of any other ESO Network show. I don't know why we didn't do that. That was a really good idea. Cornflake can still spend 4th of July on a hammock.
And I did.
You did. Good. I was just going to ask.
Yes.
This was another flop fight episode. So we have another battle royal of names not drawn during the flop fight. And this was for the Lilith Fair. The winner was Indigo Girls.
That made me so happy.
Cornflake's trucker friend Bart, who downloaded the Flopcast from North Dakota, just got married.
Yes, we congratulated him in the after show.
Rankin Bass Rudolph is on an episode of The Orville.
That was weird and wonderful.
Cornflake's favorite songs from the Billy Joel albums not covered in her top 4.5 list. Cornflake ran into Herbie the Love Bug.
Driving down some crazy back road in Massachusetts. Yeah, I did.
You and I both kept running into Herbie the Love Bug this summer. It was very weird. We were looking at DragonCon photos for several after shows. Here's a DragonCon photo was my friend Liz as Robin Sparkles. Then there was DragonCon photo of a Schoolhouse Rock costume group. Christine and James Randi together at DragonCon. Emmett Otter at the Puppet Museum, also a DragonCon photo. Cornflake started watching Facts of Life Season 1. Are you still on Season 1?
I only found that much on Roku, so I need to find ways to get more seasons.
Yeah, because again, we have some Facts of Life plans coming up for the new year. Hang on, people. Cornflake is concerned that we could hear her snoring dog during the show. Yes, we could. Cornflake has lobster wine.
And I still do. Yeah, I'm popping it open for New Year's Eve.
Sounds delicious. We put up new posters in Chickentown Studios. Yes, we did. I'm looking at them now, including the Wonder Twins. Cornflake is watching videos of Bob Ross feeding squirrels.
So cute.
We got a whaleboat postcard from Jacob.
That's awesome.
Cornflake and the late, great James the Amazing Randy worked for the same radio station in New York.
WOR.
A few decades apart, of course.
Yes, there was that.
Cornflake opens a package of lobster stuff that Janice sent you. Cornflake got a terkst about a new Chicken Police video game.
I remember that.
A new season of Taskmaster has a reference to Chickentown.
That was so awesome.
This one just says Friendsgiving. All right, we're getting into the holidays now. We're almost there. Rewatching the Magic, that's the podcast that our friends JP and Kiki do, is 1 year old, and they watched the Star Wars holiday special. Cornflake recommends a Babysitter's Club documentary.
How about Claudia Kishi?
The Island of Misfit Toys Spotted Elephant also worked as a footman for King Moonracer. And finally, we have the guy from the Aquabats was also the kid on Gloria, the sitcom.
Joey Stivick.
There you go. And that brings us up to today, in which we are reviewing all the secret after shows from 2020. We did it.
At a breakneck pace. Good job.
But it still took too long. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.